Blog Talk Radio.
Beginnings are hidden as in the mist.
goes back to an age when our people had neither guns, horses, nor steel, when there was just us and the animals, the earth, the grass, and the sky. Nowadays, clever people study sunspots through giant telescopes, and your man-made little stars zoom around the earth as they were late on a job. You have even landed on the moon and let a few plastic bags of urine there, and a few chewing gum wrappers. But I think the Indians knew the sun and the moon much better in those long forgotten days, or much closer to them. Huddling in their poor shelters in the darkness of winter, and freezing and hungry, hibernating almost like animals, how joyfully, thankfully they were. They must have greeted the life-giving sun, let it warm their frozen bones as spring returned. I can imagine one of them on a sudden impulse getting up to dance for the sun, using his body like a prayer, and all the others joining him one by one. So they made this dance, and slowly, generation after generation, adding more meaning to it, added to its awesomeness. My father taught me, as he had been taught by his father, the learning and teaching going back to the beginning of time. Wee Wun Yang Wasipi, the sun dance, is our greatest feast, which brings all the people together. I told you of Han Blashia, the vision quest, one man alone by himself on an isolated hilltop, communicating with the mystery power. Well, the sun dance is all the people communicating with all the mystery powers. It is the Han Blashia of the whole Sioux Nation. The sun dance is the most misunderstood of all rites. Many white men think of it as an initiation into manhood, or a way to prove one's courage. But this is wrong. The sun dance is a prayer and a sacrifice. One does not take part in it voluntarily, but as a result of a dream or a vision. A sun dance you are about to witness is sponsored by someone who dreamed that he must undergo this ordeal to bring his son back from Vietnam, to bring peace to the people of this world so that they can understand one another. We will dance for this. The dance is not so severe now as it once was, but even today it asks much of a man. Even today a man may faint at lack of food and water. He may become so thirsty, blowing on his eagle bone whistle, that his throat will be parched like a cracked dry riverbed. He may be blinded for a time and staring at the sun so that his eyes see only glowing spirals of glaring whiteness. The pain in his flesh, where the eagle's claw is fastened in his breast, may become so great that a moment arrives when he will no longer feel it. It is at such moments, when he loses consciousness, when the sun burns itself into his mind, when his strength is gone and his legs buckle under him, and that vision incur, visions of becoming a medicine man, visions of the future. This is the sun dance that was famous in the made famous in that in the movie with Richard Harrison. I forgot the name of that movie. It's a wonderful movie though, where he became a prisoner. Captured prisoner of the Sioux, and he was an Englishman, and in order to prove his manhood and to become a chief, if you will, or to become a part of a warrior, he had to go through this particular ritual, along with so many other humiliations. gained at such a price are even greater than those that come to a man on the hilltop during his vision quest. They are truly welcome sacred. One thing makes me sad. There was a town of winter, with hundreds of Indian families eager to keep the old ways. We are surrounded on all sides by white cattle ranchers. The only place we can hold our sundance now is on the old fairgrounds where the local cowboys used to have their rodeos. It's not good enough for them anymore. They've built a new one, and we have kind of taken this one over. The old grandstands are peeling in full splinters, but they are still safe enough to sit on. You can still see the fading signs, drink Pepsi Cola, see your local Ford dealer, pretend not to see them. Our communities are luckier, not so fenced in. They can still hold their ceremonies out in an open prairie, or wherever is left of it. But we will have a good sun dance here, all the same. We will do it right, in the sacred manners of our forefathers, as our elders have taught us, at light as far as this is possible, at this time and in this place. Excuse me. We want you to understand and to watch, but not with your eyes only. This is a good hour to relate to you how we celebrate the sun dance in days long past. To make you see it in your mind, in all its ancient awesomeness. Just telling about it makes me very uneasy. Formerly we didn't talk much about it even amongst ourselves, and then only on solemn occasions when 12 old and wise men were present to make sure that what was told was right and nothing added and nothing left out. I have said much about the pain of the Sundance, little about its joys. We Sioux are not a simple people. We are very complicated. We are forever looking at things from different angles. For us, there is pain and joy is pain. Just as to us, a clown is a funny man and a tragic figure at one and the same time. It is all part of the same thing, nature, which is neither sad nor glad. Just truth. Thus in the old days, the sun dance was not all sacrifice, but only a happy time when the cherries were ripe and the grass was rough and being plentiful, and a happy time for meeting old friends. We were spread out then in small hunting parties from Nebraska to Montana, like pebbles flung in the sagebrush. But nobody could miss the sun dance. Even if he had to travel hundreds of miles. With the Sundance, you came across relatives whom you had not seen for a year and swapped stories with them of all the bad and good things that have happened to you in the meantime. And here, boys met girls they could court and make love to. We Sioux have much have such a fear of inbreeding and so many rules which forbid you to marry within your clan that I think the Sundance was for many a young man the only chance to find the right girl. Every family put up their teepee in a place that was proper for them, with the herald riding around the camp circle telling everybody what to do. These were days of visiting back and forth between tents of good food, good talk, good company. This was a time for begging songs. The singers going through from teepee to teepee, collecting gifts and foods for the poor. It was also a good time for girls to look for a special kind of herb with four buds, which acted as a love charm, an herb that would make their lovers faithful. There aren't too many of these herbs around now, women tell me. The sun dance lasted for 12 days, 4 days for teaching the participants the many things they had to know, and 4 days for the dance itself. The sun dance really began with the choosing of the Kan Wakan, the sacred pole. It was always a cottonwood, our sacred tree. If you cut off the top branches, Make a clean cut with your knife. You will find a design resembling a star at the core of each branch. In making their choice, men were not looking for just the purest good-sized cottonwood they might come across. The most perfect of all trees was just good enough. To find it, the tribe sent out 4 scouts, brave men of blameless character. It was a great honor to be selected for this task. The scouts rode off as if going on the warpath, painted and armed. They were looking for an enemy to capture, a wooden enemy, a forked cottonwood. When the scouts had found a worthy tree, they returned at a dead run and made their report to the medicine man. On the morning after, the camp was filled with excitement. The drums blared, and everybody sang Braveheart songs, that black-faced pink tongue. You know, a warrior who had distinguished himself in battle had the right to paint half of his face black upon returning to the camp. And the whole tribe rode out, following the 4 scouts, the young men, women, on their best horses, decorated with trailing vines and leaves. The scouts rushed up to the tree, counting coup upon it as if striking an enemy. They told the tree, "You are lucky to be chosen from among all others. It's a great honor." The killing of the tree was done by 4 young women who had never been gossiped about, who had never been with a man. They were proud to be chosen for this. The girl had been so foolish as to pass herself off as a virgin, and she was not. The man who had lain with her would have spoken up at once and shamed her forever, but this had never happened. The axe used to fell the tree had to be brand new, never used before, and never be used again. And each of the young women took her turn, at first only feigning, giving the young men a chance to tell about their brave deeds. And often this was done by way of song. My grandfather used to sing these words: "In a fight I yield first place to none. Black face paint I strive for, unafraid I live." And when the women at last cut the tree down, they made the shrill, spine-tingling killing sound, which honored a brave enemy. As the tree fell, it was not allowed to touch the ground, but was caught by the 20 pole-bearers. After that, no one was permitted to touch the tree, walk before it, or step over it. A man who once carelessly jumped across it had his neck broken the next day when his horse threw him. You might call this an accident, but we old fool-bloods know better. There are so many things to do, or not to do, during a sundance, that we always put our medicine man in charge of the ceremony to see that everything was done right, that all the things used were new and specially made. This man was the intermediary between the people and the mystery power. At times, as I say, I have been this man. The dance also must have a sponsor, a man who is responsible for putting it on, because a vision has told him to do so, and he has made a vow. But such a person will give away most of what he owns to provide food and gifts for the poor. I am not so young anymore, and my head is so full of thoughtful memories that it is hard to keep the story from wandering. My talk is like the sundance, so many things going on at one time, at the same time. And when the tree was down, 4 medicine men who had been chosen earlier cut off all the lower branches and covered the wounds made on the trunk with vermilion paint. The fork of the tree, the sacred tree, and the topmost branches with their leaves were left untouched. A buffalo robe painted red or a scarlet cloth and a weasel skin were tied to it together with a figure of a man and a buffalo made of rawhide. These small images and large male parts on them, ready for action, you might say, these had a deeper meaning. Among other things, the sundance also stood for the renewal of life. New plants shooting up, mares full, bowling, babies being born. Those stiff male parts stood for the renewing force in nature. The tree was then brought to the dancing place and it stopped pointing toward the front. Special sticks were used to carry it, as it should be, as should not be touched. And four times on the way, the bearers stopped to rest. One thing we shall perhaps never see again, the mad rush of the young warriors on their horses after the last rest of the pole bearers, every ride trying to be the first at the pit, every rider trying to be the first at the pit where the tree would be put up. What a sight it must have been, strong young men milling in the dance circle, their horses prancing, kicking up dust, their coats painted, their tails tied up, the neighing, the snorting and yelling, war bonnets streaming and loose hair flying, riders knocking each other from their horses in their eagerness to be the first to touch that spot and win Red Crew stick honors. And those strong-hearted young men on their brave ponies, where are they now? And when the tree finally arrived in the camp circle, a great shout of joy arose from all the people. Buffalo Fat had been placed inside the pit, which was waiting to receive the Sundance Bowl. The Fat was an offering to Buffalo Nation, asking their help to feed the tribe in the coming year. A crossbar was fastened to the fork of the tree. To this they tied a rawhide thongs, one for each man who had made the vow to undergo the ordeal of piercing. The top of the pole was decorated with strips of colored cloth, and one each for the four corners of the earth. But the crossbar was also tied to the sponsors, offering a large bag beautifully decorated with beads and fulwork, around which branches of the choke cherry had been wound so that the bundle blended in with the leaves at the top of the tree. Inside the bundle was a choice hunk of buffalo meat with an arrow struck through it. This ensured good hunting. The tree was also painted a different color on each side. All this time the medicine man in charge was talking and praying to the tree in the pit in so low a voice that nobody could make out the words. At last the pole was raised, and this was done in four stages. I guess by now you have caught on to this, that four is our sacred number, that we do everything by fours. While the tree was being raised, the people were silent, and not a sound was to be heard. But once it stood upright, everybody raised a great cheer, and the men fired their guns in the air. For a short while, there was some horseplay as men and women shouted jokingly at Ira and Nansky, the two little figures, with the big male parts. The banter had all to do with sex. It was what you might call talking dirty. Ordinarily, women would have been ashamed to speak this way, coarsely, with all the people who hear them. But at one time, it was all part of the right, and therefore good. Now that the tree was up, it was supposed to speak to the people. Their words were sung in its name. I am standing in a sacred way at the earth's center, beheld by the people, see the tribe gathered around me. Around the pole, the Sundance Lodge was erected, also called the Shade House. It was a circle of poles holding up a roof of pine boughs. From here, the people could watch the dance. A little way west of the pole, they made a square of earth, Okwankwan, a sacred place. It contained a measure of power given by this great spirit to be used for the people. Two lines traced within the square, small ditches, really were filled with tobacco and covered with vermilion powder, silvery mica dust, and downy eagle feathers. The cross symbolized the four directions of the wind, and nobody was Now everything was ready for them after the sundown, which lasted for 4 days. 4 long days. There was no merrymaking, no visiting back and forth on the night before. The medicine men preferred as the people stayed quietly in their lodges. For the first 3 days, the men danced from dawn to sunset, blowing on their eel whistles, their bodies moving as one until they were faint with weariness. And then came the fourth, the most solemn day. Before dawn on the last day, the medicine men would go up a hill to catch the first rays of the rising sun to welcome them, to ask for good weather and strength for the dancers. Those who had made the vow purified themselves in the sweat lodge and were painted, each in a different way according to his vow. They wore wreaths on their heads and wrists, and long kilts of red cloth were from their waist down. They all had their medicine bundles hanging from their necks. Women did not pierce like men, but they too could make a sacrifice by having many tiny squares of flesh cut from their arm. Led by the medicine men, the dancers made a solemn march from the sun dance tipi to the dance circle. The medicine man, who acted as intermediary to the Great Spirit, walked ahead along a marked trail carrying a painted buffalo skull. Thus, this was placed upon the altar, facing the sacred pole, together with a loaded peace pipe. Before the men underwent their ordeal, it was the baby's turn to have their ears pierced. A space had been covered with sage, and here the mother sat with their little ones, calling to this or that brave and wise man to perform this task. While the men pierced the tiny earlobes with an awl, they told of their brave deeds and reminded the parents to bring up their children in the right way, the Sioux way. And this was supposed to influence the minds of the children, but not right away. I think because there was much crying and squealing among the little ones. At last it was the men's time, and that was not child's play, believe me. Nobody had been forced or talked into this, but once he had made a vow, he had to go through it. You can't break your word to welcome a compromise. The piercing could be done in 4 different ways. For the gaze at the buffalo way, the flesh on the dancer's back were pierced with skewers. From these were hung up to 8 buffalo skulls. Their weight pulled the skewers through the flesh like a puke after a few hours. The second was a gazing at the sun meaning. This is the one most used. The flesh on the dancer's breast were pierced about a hand's width above each nipple, and a wooden stick or eagle's claw stuck right through the muscle. At the end of the dance, each man had to tear himself loose. The third way was standing enduring. The dancer was placed between 4 poles. Thongs were fastened in his flesh, 2 in his chest and 2 in his back, underneath each shoulder blade. The loose ends were tied to the pole, and the dancer had to struggle bravely to free himself. The last way was gazing at the sun suspended. In this case, ropes were tied to skewers in a man's chest and back, and he was pulled up in the air with his feet above the ground. This was the most severe test of all, as the dancer could do little to hasten the end of his ordeal by pulling or jerking, but had to wait until his own weight finally ripped his flesh open. And some just kept hanging there until friends or relatives pulled them down. Usually a man had his friends by his side encouraging him, cleaning his wounds and wiping away the cold sweat with a bundle of soft sage leaves. Plants used in this way made a powerful love charm prized by women. The skewers of sagewood, too, are sought after. The dancers present them to their friends, who use them to tap down the tobacco in their peace pipes. A girl might also quench her lover's thirst by bringing him a little water to drink if thirst threatened to overcome him. Some white men shudder when I tell them of these things, yet the idea of enduring pain so that others may live should not strike you as strange. Do you not in your churches pray to one who is pierced, nailed to a cross, for the sake of the speaker? No Indian ever called a white man to symbolize for his beliefs or forbade him to worship as he pleased. The difference between the white man and us is this. You believe in the redeeming power of suffering if this suffering was done by somebody else, far away, 2,000 years ago. We believe that it is up to everyone of us to help each other, even though the pain of our bodies, even through the pain of our bodies, pain to us is not abstract, but very real. We do not lay this burden upon our God, nor do we want to miss being face to face with the spirit power. It is when we dance that we experience the sudden insight, home closest to the mind of the Great Spirit. Insight does not come cheaply, and we want no angel or saint to gain it for us and give it to us second hand. Well, my friend, it is good to sit here and watch another Sundance come to its highest point. It is good to see our people hold onto their Indianness. Some of the outward splendors of the Sundance are missing these days, but the essential remains untouched. Sure, we no longer have the Wichikata, the grand parade, men and women riding side by side in all their finery. Many of the people no longer have horses. Still, it is good that so many have come on their real life hay burners instead of in their skunk wagons with their stinks of gasoline. Yet that man over there with the old buffalo headdress came from as far away as Denver. And the family next to him with the beautiful painted teepee, which would have made a Sitting Bull proud, traveled all the way from California to be here today. You can hold it against them. You can't hold it against them that they came by car. They came from Chicago, from Milwaukee, from Canada, from the East Coast. They are here. That is the main thing. This sacred pole has been chosen in the ancient manner. The buffalo skull is in its place, and the suffering is as real as ever. And the sacred cottonwood means so much to me. Its leaves are sharp like a heart, or rather shaped like a heart. When we are twisted, they look like a teepee. And when they are flat, they symbolize a moccasin. The trunk of this tree represents the Milky Way. The fork, where our limb branches off, symbolizes the place where an old woman, Kihan Kaban, sits in the Milky Way. When we die, we have to pass her on the way to the spirit land. If we have a tattoo on our wrist, Kihan Kara let us pass. Our tattoo marks represent a kind of baptism. Without them, we could not go to the spirit land. We'd have to walk back to earth as ghosts. The last few years, I have been in charge of the Sundance, acting for the people. At this time, I asked for a younger medicine man, whom I taught to take over for me. Maybe this is my sacrifice day, to give up my power, hand it on. Let the honor go to someone else. We still haven't got your generation yet. We believe in bringing the young along to take our place, because this is nature's way. It's maybe this, our willingness to share power with the young, which makes our old people loved and respected, which makes talk easy between the generations. It means I can sit back and explain things to you today. I have fasted and abstained from tobacco and other pleasures, and this will be my offering. Before the dancers enter this sacred hallowed grounds, the singer takes their places on the outside. They have been practicing the seven Sundance songs. They beat their drums with unwrapped willow branches. The dancers are coming in a line. They walk slowly around in a circle. They stop four times before they enter. They are barefoot because the earth on their which they are about to step is sacred. The main dancer puts his head against the cottonwood pole and embraces it. Then he's then by crying because this is a great moment. There are about a dozen dancers, a few women among them. Some have cut their arms, but only four have made the vow to be pierced. Two of them are medicine men, Bill Eagle Feathers and Pete Catches. It is Pete's wife who holds the sacred pipe, symbolizing the white buffalo calf woman. And early this morning, Pete told me, "Today I want to pierce deeper, suffer more, to bring peace to Vietnam, to preserve life." He had stuck eight eagle feathers deep into his flesh, and let me tell you, they hurt him badly. Every time he moves. It is time for the piercing now. Maybe you cannot see clearly what happens down at the ground near the hole. Peter's lying on a buffalo hide on his back with a piece of wood clenched between his teeth. Bill is kneeling over him, taking Pete's flesh above the heart between his teeth, biting hard, making the flesh go white and numb so that the piercing won't hurt so much. Did you see the flash of the knife? It is done, and Bill is putting a strong sage stick with an eagle's claw through the wound. Pete gets up, and the rawhide cord hanging down from the pole is attached to the stick. Bill now pierces the other two men in the same way. I shall now leave you for a moment and do Bill's piercing for him. I'll do it swiftly, gently, like a feather on a wound, because I have much practice. Did you look at your watch? I am sure it took no longer than a minute. The dancers are helped to stand up. Each one has a wreath of sage on his head. Some are, once they are bound to this pole, the medicine man who runs the dance no longer has pity on the men. They pull the dancers backwards until the flesh stands out on their chests. When this is done, the singers sing the first song. I offer myself to you, Great Spirit. Have me for what I want. Pity me, for I want to live. The dancers are now raising their arms in prayer, blowing on their eagle bone whistles. They will stay in one place, turning always to the sun, always facing it as it travels, their eyes gazing steadily into its brightness. Everybody is silent except for the singers. No baby squalls. Even the dogs stop barking. Do you get tired from just watching? Is the sun too bright for you today, sheltered as you are under the pine boughs? Does the throbbing of the drums and never-ending sound of the whistles send you dreams? There are some old-timers among us pointing to the deep scars on their chest, scoffing at the dancers of today. They don't go underneath the muscle. They say, it's only the flesh, and the young men have gone soft. They complain that nobody hangs suspended anymore. Or drives eight buffalo skulls after him to his flesh is ripped from its shoulder blades. I don't know where anybody would get eight buffalo skulls nowadays, but as for tearing out their muscles, these dancers work for a living. They must earn dollars to buy food for their families. No matter how deep their wounds, in a few days, they must be flipped again to pitch hay, drive tribal ambulance, or pick beets. One did not need money in the old days. While dancers' wounds healed, the hunters brought him all the meat he and his family could eat. No, in many ways, the dancers of today are braver than those of days gone by. They must fight not only the weariness, the thirst, and the pain, but also the enemy within their own heart, disbelief, the doubts, the temptation to leave for the city, to forget one's people, to live just to make money and be comfortable. It is time for them to break free. Pete has torn loose and now go. That young man over there is having his troubles. It's his first time. They are bringing him to a stick plant. It is in the ground before him so that he can push himself away. He has done it. It is finished. There is a man lying down at base by the center pole. He is suffering from an illness and wants to be cured. This is the time and place to be healed. Under the cottonwood during the sundance, healing occurs suddenly in a few seconds. It happens with great power. When a spirit force, sometimes like an electric shock, it is up to a person. If he wants to be cured, he will be cured. Last year, Pete Catchers was suffering from a sickness, something inside him, and he had a dream that he would lie beneath the underneath the Sundance pole and get cured. But his vision also told him that nobody was to come near him at this time. He told me later that what happened, and he was stretched out on the ground. And believe it or not, in a few minutes, there was somebody down in the earth, about 20 feet beneath the surface, walking around there, roaming. Pete could see him, feel him. There was no somebody down there, and pretty soon he was coming up, breaking through the earth and rock, hitting his own belly, stretching out his arms, and looking at Pete. He was coming to doctor him. And just as this moment, one of the dance leaders took it into his head to show off before the tourists and cameras, waving his eagle fan above Pete, pretending to do a medicine ceremony and walking to give the spectators their money to him. And Pete had told everybody to keep away from him, but maybe this man forgot, and that being beneath the earth went away, back down. It didn't like it at all, the tourist thought. Pete was so sad he could have cried. But I know of a man who was cured underneath the center pole. This guy had a bad case of arthritis. He could hardly walk or bend over anywhere. And when he was stretched out underneath the cottonwood, he had a vision. He saw a rider coming on at a dead run between the white flags, wearing a single feather in his head. He was gliding in from the west, between the white flags, skimming in over the sunshade, astride gray horse whose hooves were never touched ground. That sick man was still with tremor. That sick man was stiff with terror, seeing a horseman coming in full speed, and he could feel the rider touching him and his lance, and it disappeared. And then the man got up and he could walk. His sickness was gone. There is a great power near the altar and the sacred pole during a sundance. The people are lining up to thank the dancer and shake their hands. They are bringing a large root from the foot of the pole, a root as big as a child, shaped as a human being, with arms and legs. They are chopping it up. It is a powerful medicine, and Pete and Bill will give a piece of it to each person. Come and join the lineup. You too have taken part in the Sundance, watching, listening, learning. You too must thank the medicine man. Get a hunk of that root. It's good against rheumatism. And the Sundance Bowl, the gift offering, the tobacco bundles, we shall leave to be blown over by the winds, the rains, and the snows, leaving them to nature, the sky, and to the earth from which they came. And here, take an extra piece of medicine to take home with you. And now, as we Sioux always say after a ceremony, even the most solemn sacred rite, Wa-un-wa-yu-un-tink-tay, let go and eat. I have had a bite since yesterday. Wa'uyam titi. Let's go and eat. I haven't had a saw one group of trees. I've been wondering for you, I've been waiting for you to ask me about the Peyote Church. One that's the first thing a man, a white man, asks. Hey chief, do I have any peyote? And we have many visitors, young people wearing fringed rawhide shirts and beaded headbands made in Hong Kong. The men usually have long hair, sometimes in braids, Indian style, and beards. It's like being invaded by so many Jesuses and St. John the Baptist, I don't know which. They are nice kids, most of them, looking for something, hoping to find it here and with us. We try to help. First we feed them. They are always hungry, hungry like Indians, hungry for a meal, for new ideas, for truth. There's a feeling of friendliness, of kinship between us and them, and they are gentle, trying to get back to nature. But we don't always understand one another. They come and go fast. It takes more time than that to know one another. Maybe understanding comes hard because we speak a different language. Two of those young Jesuses from the University of Minnesota turned up here some time ago, and they call themselves White Panthers. Chief, we've come with a message, they told me, very solemn-like. We bring you the truth. What's the message, I asked. And get rid of the motherfuckers, they said. We have no men here who do that to their mothers, I told them. You see, that's one of our troubles. We can't curse. We have no four-letter words. Sure, we have a word for intercourse. It means just that, a man and a woman making love. That's hard to understand for us, using a word that really means bodies coming together in joy, using that for a curse. Anyhow, it's peyote which attracts many of our young visitors. It creates some problems for us. It is legal for us Indians to use peyote in our religious ceremonies if we are members of the Native American Church. But what about our white guests? One man in our tribe is under indictment on a drug charge for letting a white man eat a few buttons during a peyote meeting. We don't know how it will turn out in the end. Another member of the Peyote Church, an old man, was given a bottle of little pills by some white students. Here, chief, they told him, eat this. Peyote. Modern day peyote. You don't have to gag anymore swallowing those big, bigger cactus buttons, which constrict your throat. Get with it. Chief, turn on in the modern way. Easy way. Just take a few of these. While the old man happily stayed popping those pills in his mouth. And I tell you, they nearly drove him out of his mind. For two months, he was confused, couldn't get rid of the noise in his ears. He said it was like a big call-out going on in his head day and night. He had eaten up all the little pills in one sitting. He said they had tasted good, like candy. And now he wonders what was in them. Well, my friend, as you can see, I am slow getting around to the real meat of the peyote story, like a dog circling a boiling kettle of stew. The reason is that I'm of two minds about this. Wanting to talk about peyote, but also not wanting to. I was a member of the Native American Church for 5 years, went to their meetings every week and ate the peyote. You know, us Sioux, when it comes to religion and divisions, we want to try everything. And even the famous Black Elk, who was set in his old Sioux ways, when he was an old man, he got so interested in the Christian religion that his grandfather had to get up on his horse behind him and read to him from the Bible when he was galloping back and forth all over the prairie. Well, I once was part of the peyote cult, but I stopped a long time ago. A man cannot be forever two things at one and sometime and the same time. At least I can. I'm a medicine man in the old Sioux way, believing in Wakam Tongka and the sacred pipe. The peyote religion is something new. It is not one of our ancient native beliefs. It came to us about 50 years ago, spreading from tribe to tribe, always traveling north. It must have started way back before Columbus, somewhere in Mexico, maybe among the Mayans and Aztecs, and then slowly came up to the Pueblos and the Navajos, to the Kiowas and Comanches, to the Oklahoma tribes, and finally to us. The peyote plant doesn't even grow anywhere near us. The Sioux church members have to get it from Texas. In a way, the peyote cult, as it is practiced by many Sioux, is a perfect marriage of Indian and Christian beliefs. This part is all right. We believe all religions are really the same, all part of the Great Spirit. The trouble is not with Christianity, the religion, but with what you have made out of it. You have turned it upside down. You have made the religions of the protest leader and hippie Jesus into the religion of missionaries, army padres, Bureau of Indian Affairs officials. These are two altogether different religions, my friend. The young people are somehow sensitive, and that's why they come to us, looking for a spiritual experience that churches can no longer give them. That is good, as far as it goes. The blending of beliefs, best of yours and ours, may be that's the one answer. The Pueblos are quite happy with Catholics and Pechina worshippers at one and the same. I know of one Catholic saint whom they made into a Pechina rain god, and they tell me he's doing fine at that job. Many of us Sioux go to the church on Sunday, to a peyote meeting on Saturday, and to a Yuwipi man any day when we feel sick. At Pine Ridge, they are building a new Catholic church in the shape of a teepee with a peace pipe next to the cross. All this confuses me. I'm getting too old for it. I have my hands full, just clinging to our old Sioux ways and singing the ancient songs correctly, conducting a sweat lodge ceremony as I should be, making our old beliefs as pure, as clear, and true as I possibly can, and making them stay alive and saving them from extinction. This is a big enough task for any old man. So I cannot be a Yuwipi, a true Lakota medicine man, and take peyote at the same time. It is also that my ideas from drugs have changed. Not that peyote is a drug, it is a natural plant. If it were a part of my native belief, such as the peace pipe, I would cling to it with all my heart. But as I see it now, as I feel it, I want my visions to come out of my own juices, by my own effort, the hard, ancient way. I mistrust visions come by an easy way, by swallowing something. The real insight, the great ecstasy, does not come from this. Instant lighting by flickering on a switch, instant coffee, instant tea, dinners, instant visions through pills, plants, or mushrooms. That's what I want to get away from. To me, thinking that's part of the white instant culture. Of course I can, and I do argue against myself. Peyote is a natural part of the religion of many Indian tribes. At the core of all Indian beliefs are visions gotten in various ways. And the Christian and Jewish religion, the great religion of the East, are based on the same thing. Only white people have forgotten this. It's no longer important to them. It's a good thing for Indians to look upon all Indian religions as a common treasure house, as something that binds us together in our outlook toward nature, toward ourselves, and making us one. No longer just Sioux, Cheyenne, Navajo, Pueblo, Iroquois, or Haitians, but something much bigger, grander Indian. One of my young brothers, Leonard Kodal, is a Yuwipi and a peyote priest at one and the same time. He is practicing the old Sioux ways, but also visits the tribes in Arizona and New Mexico, learning their ways. He is an Indian first, and then he is a Sioux. I am still first of all a Sioux, Minicum Jew Sioux. After that, an Indian. I have a few fewer years left than my young friend here. I must confine myself to a narrower, simpler circle. I could tell you all about peyote. I took it for many years, but now I think it is no longer fitting that I should speak of it. Listening to Crow Dog here, he will explain it to you even better. Go with him, take part in the peyote meeting. It will be a good thing. Then you can come back and tell me for a change. Leonard Crow Dog speaks and says, I am a road man in a Native American church, the Peyote Church. I am also a Yuti, a medicine man in the old Sioux tradition. I can never read nor write. My father, Henry, drove off the truant officers with a shotgun. He didn't want a white school spoiling me for something, for becoming a medicine man. When I was about 13 years old, I started out with 4 peyote buttons. 2 years later, I ate 12 buttons during a meeting. I have no book reading, learning, and don't speak good English, but I explain it as well as I can. Peyote power is the knowledge of God with peyote, God, Wakantanka, and the Great Spirit. We have a Bible here and a peace pipe. Some of the people coming here for these meetings are Catholics. Others belong to Protestant churches. Some are not even Christians. And you, my friend, we haven't asked you what you believe. Because in the end, it is all the same. Jesus and Wakantanka are the same. God and the white buffalo Catwoman, yes, Christ and his stone, and this stone here in my medicine bundle, the light from the kerosene lamp, and the Holy Spirit, it is all one and the same. You get it? Eat the peyote, then you understand. That peyote is holy. It's not a chemical gimmick, but a sacred word, our sacrament. That peyote took me a lot of good places, brought me to some good people. I got married with it. My children got baptized in the Native American church. My peyote, that peyote, it's opening 3 doors to me. Makes me recognize myself, makes me understand the people around me, and makes me understand the world. And we have to go to Texas for our peyote. Not a long ways to get it. Go a long ways to get it. The state of Texas made a big outlawing peyote. A bill outlawing peyote as a dangerous drug. It's all right to kill ourselves with whiskey or murder each other with drunken driving. It's all right getting cancers from cigarettes. Most of us Indians don't live long enough anyhow to get cancer. But peyote is dangerous. You get it, my friend? Because I myself do not understand this. They tell me we have freedom of religion. It's guaranteed by the Constitution, but then we have a whole truckful of treaties guaranteeing us the sacred Black Hills for all as long as the sun will shine. Well, you know what happened to our Black Hills. Well, maybe the same thing happened to your Constitution. It's bad, not only for us, but for you, dear friend. I know, even though I can't read or write. It's not 9 o'clock, and I've got about 10 seconds here left, but I'm going to continue this. It's only a couple more pages. On this peyote, please join me next week on Tuesday night, and when we do our alternative news and so let me continue. We are ready for the meeting now. This is just an ordinary home, as you can see. We don't need a church house. Take all the furniture out of the room and you have a place of worship. We all sit on the floor. Lean your back against the wall. This will last from sundown to sun up, and you make yourself comfortable. This is a crossfire ceremony. We also have a moonfire way of conducting a peyote meeting, Navajo style. The difference is that in the moonfire, we have a woman acting a big part, the water woman, standing for the earth, for all growing things. The moonfire is more Indian, has less of the Bible in it, and pretty soon we'll have some Navajo friends with me. Then we'll have a moonfire ceremony in a teepee with a big half moon made of sand. That's funny. We still have our peyote meetings in each other's homes. The southern tribes have theirs in the teepee, But it was us who invented the pizza. Now it takes a visit from the Navajos for us to put one up. We are setting up a square of sheet metal and asbestos now in the middle of the room. That's where the fire is. The fire chief will bring it inside. We have the firemen running the meeting. The road man said he runs the meeting like a priest. The fire chief, the drummer, the cedar chief, the helper who serves the holy sacrament, the holy peyote. And Red Bear is our road man today, so I am free to explain things to you. I guess Chief Wayne here let you know how for us everything has a symbolic meaning. First we set up an altar, a Mexican rug, and on it a Lakota Bible in our own language. We use only the revelations of St. John in our meetings. It's very Indian, full of visions, nature, earth, and stars, and something we understand very well, maybe better than you do. And across the Bible, we put an eagle feather. It stands for the Great Spirit and the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is like an eagle with sharp eyes. You can't fool him. And on the left is a rawhide bag with cedar dust to sprinkle on the fire. That's our incense. It stands for the plants, the green things of this earth, where whatever has not had been paved over with your highways, those green things want to live so that we, the people, can go on living. To the right is the peyote fan made of feathers. The fan catches a good song. It catches good songs from out of the air, good peyote songs. It stands for all the winged creatures that fly through the air. And there's also the peyote staff and the gourd and the sacred rattle. And the staff represents authority given from above to hold the meetings. It also is the staff of life. Our prayers travel up along this staff. The beadwork on that gourd is something special. Seed beads, Kiowa work. We can't get these tiny beads anymore. The designs mean visions, dreams, clouds, and rainbows. The stones inside the gourd, the sound they make, that's prayer. They are talking to God. The tuft of horsehair at the top, those are the rays of the sun, and the life giving sun. Maybe you are wondering what that white man's alarm clock is doing there at the altar. Well, you see, the night is divided into four parts. Every 2 hours, the meaning and the symbol will change, and that's what we need to find for. You also notice the empty tin cans. But take one and keep it near you. Some people, the peyote makes them retch and throw up. Because if it happens to you, don't be embarrassed. It's natural. Use the tin can. Nobody will pay any attention. And now the fire chief comes in with a glowing embers. Never walk between a man and the flames. Fire stands for generations. Pass fire to fire. Pass the flames to other. Pass the flame to those who come after you. Pass along the spirit. We shape the glow embers in a half moon, and the night sun. It stands for the night darkness. Time to think, concentrate, contemplate with yourself. The peyote unites us all in love, but first it must set everybody apart. Cut us off from the outside. Make us look inside ourselves, and there will be prayer now. And he said to him, give me the little book, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be thy mouth and sweet. It will be in thy mouth as sweet as honey. The helper is bringing the holy peyote now. We have chopped it up like relish. That makes it easier to swallow. Take 4 spoons. I hope you didn't have any salt today. The peyote doesn't like salt. There, it didn't even make you gag. Now crawl into yourself. Let it work on you. It takes time for the peyote to have its way for an hour or two, there is maybe nothing. Suddenly you notice a change. Things are no longer what they were. The man sitting next to you may suddenly seem to be a million miles away, or the drum across the room may seem to be in your lap, and the dividing line is vanishes between what is physical and what is of the spirit. Lights, forces, lights, voices, sound blends into one another. A new understanding dawns upon you, joyful and hot like the fire, or bitter like the peyote. People tell me they get out of themselves, far away, high up in the air, and see their bodies down, way down there on the floor. You'll see people drawing themselves up into a ball, like they were inside their mother's bellies, remembering things from before they were born. In time, like space, grows and shrinks in an inflammable wave, and a lifetime of being, learning, understanding is pressed together in a few seconds of insight, or time standing still, not moving at all. A minute becomes a lifetime. Think what you can do with such a minute. I don't know how it will be with you. Wait and let it happen. The drum will go around now, together with the board and staff, the fans, everybody sings four songs. Long ago the drum was no brass kettle. Long ago the hide was buffalo hide. Now it is moose. The hide is Jesus' skin, as he was beaten by the soldiers. It's Indian skin, beaten by police, during a drunk arrest. The hide is all the four-legged creatures who give us food. The drumstick is the stick that whipped Jesus with a big stick. The government uses only Indians. It is carved from cedar. It stands for all the trees who are also our friends. The rope which is wound around the drum is like a crown of thorns. If you turn the drums upside down and look at its bottom, you will see that the rope there forms a morning star. The seven marbles, which make up the knobs around the drum, stand for the seven sacraments, or for the sacred rites of the Sioux Nation. That's up to you. The drum is filled with water. As you shake it, breathe into it through the skin, it changes its pitch from a dull to a high ringing sound. If we need both my sounds, the throb of the sun is your breakfast, the earth is your heartbeat. Let it fill your being and go with it. Don't resist it. It is time for some songs now. I shall sing for you, just pass the holy things along. Ki yana yo wana hina yo. Ki yana yo wana hina yo. Eyana yo wana hina. Eyeyeyuwai. Now let it be known right now. That's what it means. Now let it be now. Right now. That's what it means. I haven't spoken to you for a while. Left you alone with a blanket around you. It is midnight. Fire chief is screaming in another road of timbers. We shake them. We shake them into the heart. We see it throb. Peyote is the heart. But inside ourselves, makes us feel as one. You're putting your hand on your chest. You look scared. I know what it is. It happens to you all the first time. The drum is inside you. Your heart is drumming. It's flowing so fast, like a peyote song. You're afraid your heart can't keep up with it. It will burst. Don't be afraid it won't. You'll feel good after a while. Just give yourself up to the rhythm. There, now you smile. Hush day. Time for another more spoons. Time for another prayer. There appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head 12 stars. Virgin Mary of the White Buffalo Calf Woman or our own water woman, or here with your pail. It does not matter. Here comes the drum and the gourd again, and the song and the fan that catches songs. If you ever wanted to get baptized, we shaped the fire into a bird and tell the peace and the Holy Ghost and the Thunderbird. But it is time to shape the fire into a cross, and that's for the four corners of the earth. Angels stand in each corner with their wings spread out. Anytime they want to, they could destroy this world, but they are here to protect it with their wings. They don't want it destroyed. What they are saying is, don't hurt the trees, nor the sea, nor the earth. Heed these words. Maybe these are not angels, but the Wakan Yam, the sacred thunder beings. Who knows? Maybe you can see them now, with lightning coming out of their eyes. I can. We are changing the fire into a star now. Christ said, I am the morning star. According to our Indian ways, the first people came from the stars. And here comes another four spoonfuls. Do you have trouble with your camera? Does it jump and wiggle? Does it have fur? Everything is alive. The fire, the water, grandfather peyote, why not the camera? And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. That is still the Bible, but it could be a ghost dance song. This is the last prayer. I guess it's getting late now outside. We have been praying for help the rest of us. Here comes the woman with the water. It sure tastes good. Take four swallows. Now, everybody has something good to say about this night. Just a few simple words. And now we eat together. There's two kinds of washna: beef, mixed with berries, and sweet corn washna. Doesn't it taste good? And now let's go out and watch the sun come up. A new kind of sun that we never saw before. Come, is that a long night? I have a wash day. Joining me, and again, like I said, this ends our week, the shows, but next week, I hope you'll join us, on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night, and